This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Black holes. This is Hotel Mars Episode N. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. We're here together, but black holes remain a mystery from my youth. In the 20th century, I was taught that nothing escapes a black hole. It is a singularity. However, we welcome Professor Matthew Graham of Caltech University, leading a team most recently that has provided us a report on something that is the most powerful ever found. The headline, most powerful black hole flare ever recorded, shown like 10 trillion suns. That's a big number. Professor, congratulations. Good evening. You are traveling. You're in Germany in Görlitz, which is an astronomy center to be. However, I need a fundamental understanding to catch me up on my black hole education. I was under the understanding in the late 20th century that nothing escaped. There was no information coming out. We just watched it there. But you're saying that something is going on at a flare like 10 trillion suns. That sounds like a lot of information coming out. What is a black hole, Professor, and what is a flare? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So that's a very good question. So it is true that nothing can escape a black hole once you're across the event horizon, because that's where you would have to be traveling faster than light to be able to escape. And you know, we currently think nothing can go faster than light. But if you get too close to a black hole, you can end up in orbit around it. And what we think is that most galaxies in the universe have a supermassive black hole in the middle. The Milky Way does, the Andromeda galaxy does. And a lot of those just sit there happily doing nothing. They're quiet, what we call quiescent black holes. But some of those black holes have material falling into them. And as that material falls in, it forms what we call an accretion disk. It's like a whirlpool in the ocean. So there's material swirling around that then falls into the black hole. As that material falls into the black hole, it speeds up and it gets hotter and it emits radiation. And that's how we can see what we call an active galactic nuclei, or an AGN, at vast distances across the universe. In fact, the AGN, they get so bright in the center of the galaxy that they outshine all the stars in the rest of the galaxy. And so what we saw here is most times the AGN, that whirlpool, is a nice, quiet, regular, burbling system. But sometimes it gives us a burp of something. And in this case, we got a very energetic burp. We got an outburst from fairly close into that supermassive black hole of an amount of energy which is equivalent to the sun being converted into energy. And it, at its peak, it was 10 trillion suns bright.
And it is 10 billion years away.
Yes, yes. So this is also the currently the furthest of this type of activity that we've seen, that we think we've seen. So this is a, you know, one in a million event type thing.
In other words, it's three quarters of everything away from us. It was early universe. We're seeing something that happened. We don't know what the state of it is today, but you're perceiving it. Now, you said it's a flare. Is there a definition of a flare? Because you assume that is what you wave on the roadside to get a state trooper's attention.
Well, it is actually very similar. So, with a roadside flare, what you have is you have that initial bright burst, and then it slowly gets fainter as the material burns away. What we have here is an initial very bright burst of energy, and then it slowly decays as the energy falling into the black hole lessens. And it calms down again to this sort of static bubbling system or burbling system that it was previously.
I see.
So this is why we call it a flare. It is analogous to the sort of thing that you would see by the side of the highway.
David, you have a question.
So in reading about it, it mentioned a series of terrestrial telescopes, I think four or five, but I didn't see James Webb or Hubble mentioned.
No.
I'm wondering if they played a role in the discovery, and if you actually sat there looking through the telescope, like those at Griffith Observatory, for example, would you have seen this, or do you need the computer photography and stuff to find it?
So we didn't use the space telescopes, or we haven't used them yet. I think they will become useful as this thing becomes fainter than we can detect with ground-based telescopes. But it wasn't bright enough for us to see visually, looking through the eyepiece of even the 200-inch or the Keck telescope. So we needed computer cameras. We have CCD cameras on the telescopes, and those allow us to detect the stuff that we've seen. But it wasn't so faint that we need to go to a space telescope yet.
Not everything turns into a black hole. What is a black hole the product of? What are we seeing the end of the end of the end of the series?
Well, what we think we're actually seeing with these supermassive black holes that are in the middle of galaxies are things that were actually formed very early on in the universe. And these are maybe the seeds of the galaxies. So the densest regions in the very early universe, they can't support themselves against their own gravitational attraction. And so they collapse in and form things that then grow to become supermassive black holes as material falls in on them over the course of the evolution of the universe. And so it's not the sort of end of anything. This is more the beginning of something, and that's just been sitting there, and that everything will eventually fall into, given enough time.
Is this like cosmos hygiene? It cleans up the parts that are no longer working?
It just sweeps up everything in its path. So yes, maybe that's one way of looking at it.
It's picking up the leaves after in the autumn time, something like that. And this particular black hole hit it big time. Do we have any way of knowing how much it's gobbling, what it's taking on? Is it a whole solar system? Is it a galaxy? What is it taking?
No. Well, so, I mean, it's sitting in the middle of a galaxy. And so, it's the most dense point in the galaxy. Everything will eventually fall into it if it can't escape that. In this particular case, though, what we think is that these supermassive black holes in the middles of galaxies, they have a set of stars in orbit around them. I mean, we see this with the Milky Way. And those stars, they eventually will pitch into the supermassive black holes. It's a terrible fate for all those stars, but it's going to happen given enough time. And what we happen to see in this case was a particularly large star get too close and get shredded.
David, you have a question.
If you could observe this real time instead of 10 billion light years in the past, what would it be doing? Would it still be in existence? What light or what would be emitting from it?
So it'll, as anything, once it gets super hot, it'll be predominantly emitting in soft X-ray and ultraviolet. And there would be an optical component, but most of the energy is going to be at much shorter wavelengths. And we would see a flash, and then we would see a slow decay. The event is still going on, or we're still seeing it. And it's taken 2 years so far at the location of the black hole for this to go on. So this would be, if it was visible in the night sky, what we would have seen is we would have seen an initial flash, and then we would have seen a bright object there still over several years, and then it would eventually fade away. But the most of the energy is actually probably coming out in the X-ray and the UV, but we can't detect it because that's too far away for our detectors here on the Earth. But the optical is more sensitive, and so that's what we see. We see that bit of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Is this dangerous to everything within its reach? You're talking about a lot of energy.
Yes. Within, some distance from the supermassive black hole, it would not have been a good place to be. But it's probably several tens of light years or something like that. So, you know, on the cosmic scale, it's a small local event, but, you know, close up, it would have been not fun.
I'm thinking of preserving us in the event of a flare or a black hole.
No, we're okay. We're okay.
So the arm of the Milky Way that we're on seems to be okay for now.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think, you know, if something like this happened in the Milky Way, we would be okay.
David?
Since galaxies merge, and this galaxy that it's in, I guess, will someday merge, do we have a challenge and a fight between two black holes if they're all in the center of galaxies?
Yes, that's certainly something that we're looking for. We believe that there should be supermassive black hole binaries out there, and we believe that they should merge. And when they merge, they will be very powerful gravitational wave sources. And so the next generation gravitational wave observatory, LISA, which is supposed to go up into space in about 10 years' time, will be looking for those sorts of things. But we have detected, through pulsar timing arrays, the signal, the background signal of merging supermassive black holes. So we know it happens. We just haven't seen any yet. But yes, that would be the ultimate fate for the supermassive black hole that has eaten this star in that galaxy at some point.
This is now the number one. It gets into the book of records. But do you expect larger, Professor, as you keep searching?
Yes, I think so, because this is, I mean, we sort of think it was, you know, we estimate that the star was maybe 30 times the mass of the sun. There are bigger stars out there, and in the right environment, it could be even more energetic. So I expect that someone sometime, probably maybe even the next 5 or 10 years, will come along and go, no, okay, look, we found the next most extreme flare in an AGN. But this is certainly going to be up there for a while in at least the top 10, I would have thought. These are rare events. And, you know, it's not an everyday thing that we've seen here.
Professor Matthew Graham of Caltech University. He's traveling. He's in Europe, in Germany. This is CBS Eye on the World, Hotel Mars Episode End with David Livingston.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.